All right. If you're ready to receive the word of the Lord tonight, let me say yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to receive God's blessing tonight? Let me hear you say bring it on.
Bring it on.
All right. You said it. God's going to bring it. Hallelujah. We read here in Exodus chapter 3 today. Read about a bush that Moses sees. And this bush is on fire. But it is not a natural fire. Because what you notice is, how do we know? Though it is on fire, Scripture says, it did not burn up. No, this was no ordinary fire. It was the very fire of God. Brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm going to preach on the fire of God. So you need to get ready right now. Because the fire is coming. And just as this bush was on fire, God wants to set you on fire. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, point your prophetic finger at them and tell them, God wants to set you on fire tonight.
God wants to set you on fire tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. John Wesley once said, get on fire for God, and people will come to watch you burn. Just as Moses was intrigued by the sight of this burning bush, when you get set ablaze with the fire of God, people will be intrigued by you. And they'll come around to see what's going on. People are not intrigued by well-kept, lukewarm Christians. They are attracted to the ones that are on fire. You know, in mainline and evangelical churches, when we talk about the fire, all right, I grew up in a Presbyterian church, we often understand it as being figurative, like as a metaphor, you know? You know my heart, my deeds, I'm calling out, light the fire again. Or, you know, there's that song, we find a fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Or, you know, more recent song, you know, consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. And, you know, when I was growing up and singing these songs, I always understood the fire as being figurative. And many people in the Korean American Presbyterian community, they sing these songs without any idea of the context from which these songs were born. Consider with me, I've examined the charismatic renewal movement, and I've noticed that the writer of these songs were not singing about a figurative fire, but a literal one. You know, these songs about God's fire, they weren't written in mainline churches or charismatic or evangelical churches. They were written in charismatic churches like Vineyard, or in modern Pentecostal churches like Hillsong. And did you guys know Hillsong is a Assemblies of God, it's a Pentecostal church? Y'all probably, they don't advertise it, but they are. If you do a Wikipedia search, it tells you. And if you pay close attention to these songs, they are not referring to a figurative fire, folks. Although we can still be blessed by interpreting it that way, they're not talking about a figurative fire. They're referring to a literal fire of God that the writers of these songs, they experienced, they saw, and they witnessed. And that's where these songs were born from. Tonight, I want to preach about this fire. What is it? What are its effects? How do we receive it? And how do we keep it burning? All right. If you look in the Gospels in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He, talking about Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you tonight that the fire of God is not figurative. It is literal. There is a real, tangible fire of God. And it's biblical. It's biblical, baby. All right? The fire of God is biblical. According to Scripture, Jesus can baptize you. He's the baptizer. Who's the baptizer? It's Jesus. And He baptizes you. He can soak you with this fire. If you read on in verse 12, Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist, he goes on. He says, His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear His threshing floor, gathering His wheat into the barn, and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Are we talking about the fire tonight? We're talking about the fire of God. Before I go on, I want you guys to close your eyes. We're all going to pray a prayer together. Alright? And when you preach about the fire, alright, the enemy is going to come. He's going to try to really distract and attack us. I just want us to just repeat this prayer after me. In the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy from distractions, from stealing, from any kind of hindrances. I reject His works right now. Lord God, I pray that You open up my spirit. May I receive from You the fullness of all that You have for me tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Alright, just receive that prayer, alright? Brothers and sisters, each and every one of us needs the fire of God. If you think you can walk this Christian life without the fire of God, get ready for a burnout. Have you ever experienced burnout? Have you ever witnessed Christian servants experiencing burnout? Yeah, how many see you burnout? Raise your hand. I've seen a burnout. I've been a burnout. I burned out. It's hard. People who serve God out of their own strength, who are not baptized with this fire, they will always burn out. But you see, brothers and sisters, burnout is not an option in the kingdom of God. Burnout is never ordained by God. It's not like God's like, oh, Brian, he's been serving me so faithfully for 2 years. I think it's time to give him a burnout. And God just does not ordain a burnout. It's not part of His kingdom plans. And if you look at the fire that Moses saw in this bush, the Bible says that it was fully ablaze, yet it did not burn up. When the fire of God comes upon a person, they can be fully ablaze and they never burn up or burn out. Because it is the fire of God that can sustain the Christian life and every act of service that God calls us to. Okay, some of you might be saying, I believe that the fire is literal and that it does not run out. But what exactly is the fire, Christian? Talk about all this fire. What exactly does it look like? What is the fire? If you look in Exodus chapter 3, you'll notice right away, verse 3. Read with me, verse 3. It says, So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn out. When Moses saw the fire, he thought it was strange. I'll tell you right now, the fire of God is strange. When the fire of God comes upon a person, it's going to look very disturbing. And if you're not used to it, it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's strange. The fire of God is very strange. You see, fire is a symbol for the manifestation of God's Spirit and His ministry and His work. And when a person receives the holy fire, the literal fire of God, many of the properties of natural fire, they begin to manifest in the person's spiritual life and even on their flesh. It's when the fire of God manifests on your flesh that things begin to look very strange. All right, there's this book. You can buy it in the back if you want to. By Sergio Scataglini. All right. He's an Argentinian pastor. All right. And he wrote this book called The Fire of His Holiness. Yeah, woo, Argentina. Barbecue. Woo! The Argentinian barbecue. One day, I'm going to go and get me some Argentinian barbecue. Hallelujah. But if you read his account from this book, he talks about when he first received the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. And what happens is, he was scheduled to give just a short little greeting at his home church in America, when he used to live in America. So he does this little visit, and he's scheduled to just say a little something. Somebody else is scheduled to preach. But before they send them off, the young people, they're like, "Oh, Pastor Sergio, we want to pray for you, so why don't you come on up?" So Pastor Sergio said, "Okay, well, I'll just get prayed for and I'll leave." He had another speaking engagement to go to. So calmly, the young people, they just lay hands on him. And just calmly, very quietly, they're praying for him. And this is what Pastor Sergio says. He says, "Suddenly, my clasped hands began to shake without my permission. And I could not control them." He looked around. He opened his eyes. No one else's hands were shaking. He tried to stop his hands from shaking. And then the shaking went to his knees. And then to the rest of his body. Then he fell to the floor. He kept saying to himself, he's just fully awake. His mind is going. He just kept saying to himself, "This is not right. I got to get up. I can't disturb this meeting." That's what he kept thinking. And he's just looking around and he's embarrassed. He's shocked. But he's actually extremely happy at all at the same time. He's just like, "What is going on with me?" And he kept thinking about his next speaking engagement. He had to go preach somewhere. So he wanted to get up and out of there. And so these two men, they pick him up. And he's like, all right, get me to another room. This is really embarrassing. And then he's to his surprise, they plop him in the first row of the church. And so they continue just worshiping. They don't know what to do. They just continue worshiping. And he's sitting there on the front row. All of a sudden, he starts shaking again. And he falls to the floor. They pick him up, put him back on the chair. And he starts shaking again. He falls to the floor again. All right? So it's just like, what? It's so bizarre. This has never happened to him before. And then he began to yell. He was very embarrassed by that by this time. He takes a handkerchief and he tries to cover up the yelling. He's like, "Ah! Oh, I want to stop this." He just starts yelling because he didn't want to interrupt the meeting. But the more he tried to control it, he said, the stronger the waves of the Spirit came over him. He thought that he would go to the other church and he would preach with great power. And he was getting excited about that. But what he didn't realize was he had already missed the speaking engagement by an hour and a half. Time had already lapsed. He couldn't tell because he was shaking, plop, flopping everywhere like a fish out of water. And he couldn't even drive the rental car that he had. Someone else had to drive him home. And he gets home, and I guess he just recently got married, and he meets his in-laws, and you know, there's some friction with his in-laws. And he's like, I gotta be calm for my in-laws. They can't see me like this. Right? He couldn't even walk. And he's carried into this house. And the in-laws, his mother-in-law and his father-in-law see him, and they're just like, "What is going on?" And he's all shaking. He's like, "Oh, don't worry, mother. Everything's okay. And, you know, it's gonna stop. Don't worry." And the mother was just, she actually just bursted out and just praised. When she saw that. He goes into his room and he tries to stay quiet and stuff. And after 2 hours, the signs just ceased. immediately. Then he went downstairs and his mother-in-law brought out some fruit or whatever. And she set it down and she said, "Isn't the Lord wonderful?" And in the moment she said that, he started shaking up again. And he fell to the floor backwards, he bumped his head, whatever, you know, he just... And he goes back to his room, he starts thinking, I gotta make some phone calls. I have to confirm some of the speaking engagements that I have coming up. And he thought, you know, God, if this fire is from you, how come I'm not able to do your work? He had this long to-do list. He had bought an expensive flight. He had to catch an expensive flight to go and speak. And he wanted to be busy for God, but God did not regard Pastor Sergio's agenda. He just ripped it to pieces because God was doing something new. Later on that night, he actually went to a church service. He was sitting in the back. Things were calm. And then the worship started and he started shaking again. In fact, later on, I think days later, he meets a friend in the parking lot. And he's just like, you won't believe what happened, man. And all of a sudden, the moment he starts like sharing, he starts shaking again. And his friend's like, whoa, what's going on, bro? What's going on? And he's like, don't touch me, man. Don't touch me. He's like, what's going on, bro? What's going on? And he touches him and his friend falls flat on the ground and starts shaking himself. So another friend comes over and he's like, what's going on, brothers? What is all this shaking all of me? He's like, don't touch me. And he's like, what are you talking about? He touches and boom, he falls to the ground and starts shaking. The fire of God started to invade Pastor Sergio's life. It was without his consent. God was doing a mighty work in his life. And his ministry has never been the same since. You know, there's examples of this at our church. All right. As you know, some of our sisters have received the fire of God. All right. And some of you guys don't even know what's going on. You guys are what they got, like some kind of like strange, like, you know, condition or something. Why are they shaking like that? You know, well, that's an interesting way to express your love for God and praise God, you know. No, they received the fire of God. And, you know, and some of them, they would shake uncontrollably. And it would go on for days, even a few weeks, you know. You know, one sister, she'll just be like talking and tutoring or something, and then whoo, and then what was that? You know, oh nothing, don't worry. It's like what is going on? And she starts shaking, you know, and all this stuff, you know. And that's the fire of God, because the fire of God, when it comes upon a person, there are going to be manifestations in the flesh. Not always, but when it happens, you're going to see it. And when there are manifestations on your flesh, you got to get ready because, oh, it's going to look strange. A person may fall flat on their back. They may begin to shake uncontrollably. They may begin to weep or wail, yell, or even scream. I mean, have you ever seen a person on natural fire? Ever seen a person on fire? Do they just stand there calmly? Hey, I'm on fire. Right, have you ever seen a person on... They are moving and shaking and they're stop, drop, and roll, whatever it takes, right? And that's what it's going to resemble on some people when they receive the fire of God. The manifestation is strong. And the fire may or may not manifest for you as it did for Pastor Sergio. But brothers and sisters, make no mistake about it. God chooses His signs and wonders as He wills. And just because it's strange does not negate that it's from God. God has been known to do strange things, like in this burning bush with Moses. But one thing's for sure. You need the fire. You need the fire of God. And you know, signs are strange. Signs are just, by definition, they're pretty strange. They're out of the natural. But let me tell you right now, signs are biblical, baby. Signs are biblical. And I don't know why, but the version of Christianity that some of us have inherited says that signs are not normal. Or we don't even see it growing up. And when we do see it, we just, oh, that's the devil. Right? But signs are biblical. Romans chapter 15. Paul preached with signs and miracles. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, it says that Jesus was a man accredited by God by miracles, wonders, and signs. Acts 8, 6, signs caused the crowds to pay attention to Philip's preaching. Brothers and sisters, signs are biblical. They're biblical, baby. And you see, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. Old wineskins, they tend to break. New wineskins, they stretch. But many people in the church, they're so set in their own ways and their patterns that they resist or reject strange signs. When they see it, they reject it. They're all about their old wineskins. And they say, the old is better. The old wine is better. The old wine is better. But brothers and sisters, the fire of God is coming. And His Spirit is being poured out in these last days. And the fire of God is going to come, and it's going to come suddenly. And if you have old wineskins, He's going to break it open. For new wine, for you to receive that new wine, you're going to need new wineskins that can stretch. You might think the old is better, but you haven't seen nothing yet. And let me just give a warning to all of you, you know. When you see the fire of God come and you see these strange signs, there's nothing more rude to the Holy Spirit than for you to stand there and try to analyze what's happening. It just looks strange to you, but God can be doing a wonderful work in that person's life, in that person's heart. Things that they're just too painful for them to even deal with. And under the fire of God, God's starting to really heal them and deliver them and just set them free. He's just starting that work. And you just standing there like it's some kind of show. Doubting it. Analyzing it. Suspecting that they're faking it. Oh, maybe they're just really excited and they're just faking it. Oh, it's because the first person fell. So the second person's like, oh, I got to do the same thing. And they're doing something like this. So there's something going on, some conspiracy theory. And you're just standing there and you're all being intellectual like that. I'll tell you right now, intellectualism will quench the fire of God. And if that's you, you need to repent. Because you, Holy Spirit, will skip right over you. He'll skip right over you if you have grieved Him that way. Holy Spirit is a person. If your relationship with the Holy Spirit is all messed up like that, He'll skip right over you. And it's a good idea sometimes when we lead people into a prayer or impartation for the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire, that they go through a step of repentance prayer to the Holy Spirit for the ways that they've grieved Him. Now what I want to do right now, let's look at Exodus chapter 3. And using this passage, I want to show you what happens. What are the effects of the fire? Okay, look at verse 4. Exodus 3, 4. When the Lord saw that He had gone over to look, God called to Him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. The first thing that happens when the fire of God comes, you hear God call your name. You experience God's love and intimacy in a way that you've never experienced before. You know, you hear the truths, you read the word, but it's different for you to experience it. And the fire of God comes, God draws you. He draws you into an experience of that love relationship with Him. All right, and people who receive the fire, they have a fresh love for God, a first love that's just reawakened in a way that they've never experienced before when they receive the fire. Let's read on, verse 5 and 6. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then He said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The second thing that happens when the fire of God comes, you will suddenly encounter the holiness of God. And He commands you to take off your sandals. He commands Moses to take off your sandals. Take off his sandals. He commands you When the fire of God comes, He'll command you to take off your sandals. And what does that symbolize? Sandals, they symbolize what you walk on. Right? Your walk, your habits, your thought patterns, your values. And when the fire of God comes and you encounter the holiness of God, God says, wait! Don't come any closer. I have drawn near to you, but for you to draw near to me, we got to do it my way. And those sandals, they need to come off right now. You are not going to draw near to me with those same values and thought patterns and habits. Take them off right now. And when the fire of God comes, brothers and sisters, He leads you to repentance and holiness in a way that you've never experienced before. God begins to burn up everything in your life that needs to go. And it's a process. I admit, it won't happen in one night. But once you receive the fire and you keep that fire burning and you learn how to let that fire continue to burn, the fire sanctifies. Oh, the fire sanctifies, you know? Lord, I don't want to let go of this, like this secret sin. Lord, can I just keep this? Can I keep this? The fire of God comes. Whoosh! It's like, nope, you got to burn that up. That needs to go. Like, all right, Lord, all right, I'll give that up. But what about you know, the way I waste my time on the weekend? Come on, Lord, this is not really sin. You know, just let me just keep this. Whoosh! The fire of God comes. So, no, we need to burn that up. And He starts to sanctify you. You know, on the third day that Pastor Sergio received the fire, he began to feel fear for God on that third day. And just as Moses did, Pastor Sergio wanted to hide his face from God because he was afraid to look at God. Why? Because God's holiness was suddenly in front of him. And Pastor Sergio saw the sinfulness of his sins. And even the little sins that he thought was just no big deal, they're just evangelical sins, he began to weep over them and to confess them and to get them out. When God comes close to you by His fire, He tells you not to come any closer until you have taken your sandals off, until you have radically changed your ways, mind, and behavior. The second thing the fire of God does is it calls you to repentance, to radical repentance, to absolute purity and holiness. Let's read on, verse 7 and 10. The Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. All right, and you look all the way down to the last verse, verse 10. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. When the fire of God comes, God calls you to deliver His people out of bondage. Amen? You know, Pastor Simbala, he was here from Brooklyn Tabernacle about a month ago, and he preached a message where he said that people live in all kinds of prisons. Prisons of fear, anxiety, insecurity. Prisons of demonic oppression, generational curses, occultic power. Prisons of guilt, shame, and despair. Prisons of pornography, sexual addiction, drug addiction, and anger. But when God's fire comes upon a person, He calls you to a ministry of deliverance. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Release from darkness for the prisoners. When the Spirit of God comes upon you with fire, brothers and sisters, it's not just for your own personal benefit. It's for the purpose of setting the prisoners free. My question is right now, why am I the only one in this church that's leading deliverance ministry? That's my question. And I'm praying that that starts to change. Because you know what? I'm getting exhausted. I'm not burning out. But I'll tell you right now, it's emotionally exhausting, alright? But I love it. And I find strength in His joy. And I love it. But I want to see more. I know there's more and more people that need to be set free. And more people will rise up to this call to deliverance ministry. More and more people will be able to be set free. More and more testimonies will come forth. More and more healthy Christians filling up churches, obeying and submitting to the authorities God's placed. Not doing all the kinds of manipulative and gossip and slander and being filled with the devil. And you know, deliverance, if God calls you to get involved with this deliverance ministry as the fire of God comes, it may not look like what I do, alright? Now, if you want to lead deliverance sessions the way I do, alright, just call me, alright? Because I will be glad to train y'all. Alright, I'll do one-on-one, alright? I'll be glad to train you. But whatever form it takes, whether you lead a small group, you know, leading a small group can be deliverance ministry. Discipleship. Alright, a lot of students in my Campus Crusade ministry, when they come through a healthy discipleship, they usually don't need deliverance by the end. Because that discipleship does the deliverance. Whether it's marriage counseling, serving on the praise team, missions work, evangelism, etc. His fire calls you to set the prisoners free. And let me tell you right now that as God's fire calls you to deliver the prisoners, He delivers you as well. If you are a prisoner, obviously, you need to be set free as well. When the fire of God comes, the shackles of fear, anxiety, and shame, God starts to begin the process of breaking them loose. Third thing the fire of God does, He calls you to deliverance ministry. Each and every one of you. Let's look at verse 12, the latter part of verse 12. Welcome, Brother Peter. How you doing? Yeah. Hey, you guys, that's Peter. Say hi to him later on. I just saw him this first time meeting him, but nice to meet you, brother. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at verse 12. Last word of verse 12. Sorry, man. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Brothers and sisters, when the fire of God comes, God will take your crumbs of praise. He'll take you from the valley and put you on the mountain. Your praise experience, your worship experience becomes a mountaintop experience when the fire of God comes. Robert Heller in his book Experiencing the Spirit says, when the Holy Spirit invaded my life back in 1983, one of the first changes I noticed was the release of praise. You know, some people in the church, they have to force themselves to fake worship. They kind of have to fake it, all right? If it were really up to them, they'd rather sit down and sing. And they really don't want to raise their hands unless it's really, really, really dark so that nobody else sees them. Because they're concerned more about what others will think. But I'll tell you right now, people who have been baptized in the Spirit, who have been baptized with fire, they could care less what other people think. And they will look pretty foolish. And even more undignified than this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, sister. It's all for the glory of the Lord. Praise and worship overflows from the hearts. And there's little or no conscious effort. It's just, there's a new richness, a satisfaction, a joy that just overflows in praising God. And this is why charismatic and Pentecostal churches who have this experience, it's a regular experience in these churches, they put a strong emphasis on praise and worship, right? I remember back in New Jersey, where I used to attend different churches and serve in different churches in New Jersey, I remember people would complain about even just two or three hymns. They were like, oh, that's so long. Can we not repeat the last verse or something? They would just complain. Or when I even lead praise at some of these churches, they'd ask me to not repeat certain songs. They'd be like, can we just not repeat the second and third song, please? But I mean, I already know what it says, all right? We sang it once. Why are we going to repeat it? I'm literally, for like 3 years at this one church, that's all I heard every week. Now, I thought it was because my singing was flat and my guitar playing's a little sloppy, all right? But now I realize it had nothing to do with me. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen? Hey, I'm going to say amen right now. You know, here at JSEM and churches where people have received the baptism of fire, the baptism of the Spirit. You know, we could worship and worship and worship. And there'll be people that just don't want to stop. And last Saturday, and during the worship night, you know, I could tell you the truth, I could have just worshiped all night. That's all we did. We didn't have no message. I was a little bit disappointed. I was like, there's no message? I just want to sit down and but when we got into the worship, man, I just got lost. I didn't want to stop. And the fire of the Spirit takes our worship experience to a higher level. He takes you from the valley and puts you on the mountain. And if you don't praise like this, you need to receive the fire of God. That's what you're missing. Let's keep going. Verse 14 and 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Amen. When the fire of God comes, God causes you to acclaim His fame and to make known His name and to make it renowned to all generations, to all nations. From generation to generation. He puts a fire for His renown. And it's a real fire, folks. And when you get it, your Christian experience is going to be different. The prophet Jeremiah, when he was filled with the Spirit, he was like, I am not going to prophesy anymore. All right, I'm getting persecuted. People are beating me. They're throwing me down pits. You know what? I am not going to preach anymore. And when Jeremiah resolved not to speak forth the words of God, do you know what it says? He says, it was like a fire shut up in my bones. I could not keep it in. Brothers and sisters, when the fire of God comes, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. God's like, you must speak forth the gospel. You must make my name great. Wherever you go. And, you know, I've experienced this. I'll be on flights. You know, and I'm tired, you know, I've been traveling a lot in the last 2 years. And when I travel, sometimes I just want to chill, you know. But that fire for evangelism, it's just real. It's a real fire. And I'll feel it. The Holy Spirit would be like, all right, Christian, you ready? Let's talk to this guy. I'm like, Lord, please, can I do it after my nap? And he's like, come on. You know? You don't know what I've prepared in his heart. Why? Just talk to him. I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to talk to him. I turn up my iPod loud, you know? Like, yeah, I'm listening to your praise, Lord. Bless this. And it just this fire in my bones. I was like, excuse me, sir. Have you got one of these? It's a gospel track. Yeah? You have a religious background? Yeah? And I just start evangelizing. Alright? And you know, and sometimes, you know, God gives me breakthrough and whatnot. Other times, you know, it's just a test of my faith. But there's that fire. There's that fire. When the fire of God comes, when you receive that fire, there's just this overflowing passion for the renown of God. An overflowing passion for reaching the lost. For doing missions work. It's a totally different level, folks. The fire of God accomplishes what all the books, classes, and curriculums on missions can never accomplish. He can put that fire and that passion for His renown deep into your spirit, where you are willing to go anywhere and sacrifice anything and do whatever to make His name great. That's the fire. That's the fire of God. And you know, there are churches that just, you know, that have a hard time reaching out to the nations. They're usually the churches that really haven't experienced the fire of God. But I'll tell you, churches that have the fire of God, they will put up 30, 40, 50% of their budget to do missions work. Because it's like a fire shut up in their bones, you know? So yeah, We'll settle the budget. We gave 20% last year toward missions. I think 25 is generous enough, right? All right, let's set that in stone. All right, everyone agree? Yeah? With the fire. Is everyone okay with going to 30% of the budget toward missions? Yeah? Is that all right? More. All right, how about 38%? Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Are you guys cool with that? Yeah? Well, you guys are 38%. All right, 38% of this. The fire to make his name great. Let's keep going. Verse 20. All right, I'm going to skip a couple, but we're going to just go straight to verse 20. This is the last one. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. When the fire of God comes, folks, he enables you to perform mighty signs and wonders. And y'all need to receive that in your spirit right now. Because many of you just simply don't believe that. But if you receive the fire of God, he will enable you to perform mighty signs and wonders. You know, when the fire of God comes upon a person, it's common for that person to experience the release of tongues or prophecy. In the Bible, when the Spirit of God will come upon a person, they often spoke in tongue or they will prophesy. But there are seven other spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that can also manifest. And not only these signs, but people who receive the fire also begin to see wonders and perform miracles. Just as Elisha fed hundreds with just a few pieces of bread, and Jesus fed thousands with even less bread, you too can perform that miracle if you have the fire of God. I believe that just, you might think I'm trippy, but just as Jesus walked on water, I also believe that I'm going to see that. I'm going to walk on water. Oh, hallelujah. And I heard one story in Indonesia of missionaries that they just needed to get to another island. And they were just like, hey, let's just walk on the water. They were like, what? Crazy boy. Like, let's just do it. All right. And I don't know what. You know, they just start walking on water. And they got to the next village. Like three or four people. They start walking on water. And we hear that. You're like, man, that's not true. Okay. Well, if you look at the Word of God, there are wonders and miracles contained here. And these wonders and miracles, God wants to renew them in our day. Hallelujah. Amen. If Jesus healed the blind, you too can heal the blind. If Jesus drove out evil spirits, you too can set people free. You see, in Exodus chapter 3, the fire of God was upon a burning bush. But in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 30, the Word of God declares that in the latter days, the fire of God's Spirit will not just be poured out onto a bush or just set ablaze a bush. It will be poured out on all His sons and daughters. Joel chapter 2, afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. Earth, blood, and fire, and billows of smoke. And you know what? The fire, brothers and sisters, the fire of God is different than the anointing. Right, the anointing is sweet. The anointing is sweet. You're just worshiping God. Oh, the anointing just comes. And it's like oil. It just drips. It just covers you. And it's just sweet. But when the fire comes, it's abrupt. It comes suddenly. Suddenly. And when the fire comes, the fire will consume all that you have and have very little respect for your preferences or agendas. Look at Pastor Sergio. I have to go preach. I have to go. Fire, boom, just comes. I can care less about your speaking engagement. Look, I'm doing something new. The fire of God is sudden. And brothers and sisters, God is stirring a new revival in this generation. Amen? And the question is, will you live with your old wineskins, your old patterns that you saw growing up in church? Are you so complacent and satisfied with those old wineskins? Or are you ready to surrender your all to the King of Kings and receive His holy fire? Tonight, the Spirit of God is orchestrating this message and this evening so that you can be here on this specific Friday tonight. And He wants you to come forward and be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Jesus wants to set His people ablaze with His fire. Amen? So right now we're just going to go into a time of prayer, and I'm just going to have a little altar call for you to respond with faith. All right.